Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome inside the Celtics Life Podcast. I'm Justin Quinn, here with Mark Allison, and the offseason is officially behind us. We took off a week while there was a second to breathe, and one of the craziest off-seasons in years, but with the preseason games finally underway, it's time to get back into it. How you doing, Mark?
Pretty good, my man. What's going on?
Well, I'm just going to let everybody know in advance, if you hear some construction noises, it's not the Celtics roster under construction. Nothing's changed as far as I know. It's just my apartment building.
We're recording in a work zone.
We are. Multiple ways. So there's been some stuff going on in the last week or so. We have some big changes to the All-Star game.
Yeah, pretty cool changes, if you ask me. I think it's a good idea.
I am super psyched about it. I honestly thought the backlash was going to be massive when I read about it, and I was really surprised that something that radical happened. The NBA tends to be a pretty conservative league when it comes to, like, rule changes. And, I know the All-Star game doesn't officially count directly for anything, but it surprised me. They actually went ahead with this.
Well, I think people just really – I think the positive response from everybody – people just really want to see something different. I mean, the garbage games that we've been getting for, like, the past, 15 years, I can't even remember the last time I enjoyed – actually, I can remember. The last time I enjoyed watching the game was the last one that Jordan was in. And it was that close game, and he hit the would-be game winner. And then Jermaine O'Neal fouled Kobe Bryant, who hit three free throws to win the game, which was awful ending. But it was an exciting game. That's the last time I remember it being like that.
Yeah, nobody plays defense. Scores are up into the 130s, 40s, 50s even.
It's silly. I mean, I'd rather watch a preseason game between two trash teams than watch that.
Absolutely.
So what are you going to do?
For the people who aren't aware what the changes are, it's going to be completely revamped how they organize it. There's not going to be an East and the West anymore. The top two vote getters in each conference will then pick teams from across the league of All-Stars. So there isn't an East and West per se so much as Team A and Team B. I don't know what they're going to call them. Maybe they'll still be East and West, but they'll just be distributed not in the conferences that they're in. I'm not real clear exactly how that's going to work. But the coaches don't.
So it's going to be one guy from each conference, though? Like, it can't be Steph Curry and Durant. It's got to be two guys from separate conferences.
I could be wrong on that. It might be just
the top two vote getters. I'm not clear on that, so I don't really know. So
yeah, it might just be the top two vote getters.
I think you're right, though. Yeah, you could be right, though. I'm not really sure either.
The coaches are still going to pick the reserves.
Which is good.
Yeah, totally. It's as if players running a team sometimes goes badly.
Yeah, and at least this way, we hopefully won't end up with the Warriors on one team,
We might. We might.
Well, I mean, if Durant or Curry is the leading vote-getter, I mean, he could easily just pick his teammates, which would be kind of interesting to see if guys skip their own teammates. That's what makes it kind of exciting. So if Durant's your one guy, and let's say it's Durant and LeBron, right? Mm-hmm. And with his first pick, who's Kevin Durant select? Does he take Steph Curry or does he,
could be really interesting.
They'll take different people just for the fun of it, kind of get a little dig in on their teammates and stuff. But I mean, who knows?
This could be the closest we get to see to how you could assemble a team to beat the Warriors or something very close to them.
Yeah, there you go, right?
So just saying.
We'll get the banana boat team from LeBron. Is he going to pick Wade, Melo, and Chris Paul?
Probably not going to pick Kyrie.
Can he please not pick Dwayne Wade, who doesn't deserve to be in the All-Star game?
He's not going to be in the All-Star.
I'm just going on a limb there. I know. Well, he was last year, wasn't he? Or almost. He was almost in last year.
And the only other thing that's changing is the game is going to be for charity. So additional reason to actually, play defense, try.
Well, you know what I would think would be – like what would make them actually maybe try? If the winning team The money went to like their own foundations. You know how like every player has like their own foundations and whatnot?
Absolutely.
I think that would be cool because then these guys would be playing for something that is, for you sure. know, important to them and close yeah. to them. Because I mean, if it's just two random charities, it's like what incentive do you have to beat the other team? The money's going to a good cause either way, sure. right? I mean,
that's a good point.
I don't know. Right? Why not have like the money goes to the starters foundations or something. Everybody, every NBA player has something that means something to them, you know, whether they have their own foundation or not. I don't know. Just a little interesting because I still don't see how it's going to be a competitive game if they're just playing for charities and the money's going to a good
place. I think it might be slightly yeah. more competitive, but I wouldn't get my hopes
up. Yeah, no, I agree with that. But and at the same time, you know, and I guess maybe if they're picking their own teams, there's a little bit of an aspect of like, I picked this team and we want to win rather than we were voted in. And, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
So more good news. Rick Pitino. Done.
Oh.
Ugh. Probably from basketball.
You think he's going to get on the job?
I think
somewhere?
He could if he wanted to. I don't think.
I think it'll be yeah, it'll be at a mid major exactly. or something like that. Though he can't get.
He's not getting yeah. a blue chip.
But it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me though if he.
You didn't catch my joke. It wouldn't be a blue chip. University. For those of you who aren't aware, he actually had a role in the movie Blue Chips that was dealing with exactly what he just got canned for, which is a kickback scheme related to recruiting in college where families receive a certain amount of money by steering players to certain schools and programs. I personally don't give a crap about that so much as I give a crap about the corruption the NCAA makes. We don't need to get into that because this is a Celtics podcast. But all the same, I don't feel even slightly bad for Rick Pitino.
No, not at all. It's not after the way he did us dirty. You know, him, guys like him, John Calipari, maybe, obviously, I'm not going to put him on the same level as Pitino.
I actually respect Calipari. He's
guys,
a sleazeball, but at least he's open about it.
He's open about it, but at the same time, these guys go to these schools and then they leave them in ruins and move on to a better situation. And I don't know. I just both of them leave a sour taste in my mouth. I mean, do you really need that if you're one of these? I mean, obviously Louisville benefited from Pitino because they became a powerhouse and they never were before. Right. So, I mean, this guy's a basketball genius. He knows what he's doing, at least from the college level.
And I love Jim Calhoun from UConn, but, another guy who is, you know, famous for bending the rules. But, you know, in this particular case.
Right, but I mean, but Calhoun didn't leave, like, places.
No, he's
like,
stuck it out.
The
out.
Other
it's
two
fair.
Guys just have a track record of doing this and then leaving these other teams.
And bending the rules and shattering them are kind of different. Like, if FBI probes are not exactly on the same thing as impermissible text, so.
Yeah, I'll I'll give you that one, Justin, for sure.
So besides that, we had way back, it seems like it was in prehistory, Media Day. Brad Stevens said he felt like he was taking another job. Nobody yelled at him about that, yeah, but Jaylen Brown says that he's not sure if there's going to be chemistry the next year and people are ready to take his head off.
Yeah, did he? Well, I didn't miss that comment. What did he say?
He had an interview. I think it was with Complex Magazine. It's been circulating. I actually posted a video with some folks talking about that recently. And really.
He was questioning the chemistry of the
team. Yeah, he's like, trade was kind of weird. Is there anyone on this planet that, you know, was not living in a cave that doesn't think that trade was weird? That trade was super weird. It never happened before. Nothing like it's ever happened before. And when you are dealing with a guy who just went through what Isaiah Thomas, not to bring that up again, but.
Right.
It's kind of weird.
It is. But at the same time, I mean, Ainge is just doing what, you know, things that he thinks are best for the team, right or wrong.
I agree.
I don't blame Isaiah one bit for feeling betrayed, at least to some extent. And obviously, you know, that sucks. But I don't think this was anywhere on the radar. The Kyrie stuff came out of nowhere. And, you know, I think they were going to re-sign Isaiah next year for maybe not the max, close to the max, whatever. They were going to give him a good deal. And, you know, another situation developed. They went with a younger guy. I don't blame him for doing it. But at the same time, it sucks. you know.
It does, and it's totally normal to with only four dudes coming back to your team from the last season. If you read his whole quote in context, Jaylen Brown's comments are a rookie saying, "I don't get this. It's all new to me, and I hope it works." Not anything else. Calm down.
Right. I didn't even see that, but I think that's much to do about nothing.
Agreed. Agreed. Mm-hmm. What else was going on? Marcus Smart is skinny now, 20 pounds lighter, still muscular, can apparently really get up there, also can hit a three, and has 500 pounds of muscle.
3 for 7 on Monday. Like that.
Yeah, that was actually really good.
But so my concern, the one concern that I have with Smart losing all the weight, is he still going to be able to stand up these centers? You know, is he going to be able to abuse guys like Paul Millsap in the paint? I don't know.
Well, now we have a guy who can. So, you know, Aaron.
Exactly. So that was my next point. We maybe don't need to anymore. Yeah. But we got a couple of big goons now. But the if it gets into the rim quicker, I mean, if it helps his shooting, you know, hey. Power to it. I love it. I love the dedication.
Hey, with Tice coming from the front court too.
Yeah, man. Tice is he's 6'9", but he you're not going to move him around too easily. And
Jaylen Brown is happy to go to the rack too. I think it's going to be a weird look for this team that we have shooting and people like willing and able to go to the rack.
Yeah, no, definitely. We'll get into the roster a little bit because I want to talk to you about that when we get to the game the other day. But
absolutely,
there's some good stuff there.
Besides that, on media day, a lot of the conversation, and I don't want to get too far into this because it's a hot topic. Brad Stevens, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie, they all had some words along the lines of Trump, Kaepernick, and Stephon Curry and the Warriors. You guys probably all heard about that. You guys have probably all seen that Bill Russell has taken a knee. I don't even know if we should even have anthem at games. It's not like it's been a very long tradition. If people want to stand for the anthem, great. Go stand for an anthem. I don't know why it needs to be, you know, I don't go stand in an anthem when I go to the movies.
The movies.
Just, what's the deal? It's a recent phenomenon in the NFL where the biggest controversy is it was just started in 2009 with a low-key payment from the military, which is... Whatever you want to think of it, it's not an American tradition like some people are making it out to be. And the dominant point I think that I took from those comments at Media Day is that Jaylen and Kyrie want to open the dialogue, which personally I think is way more productive than kneeling or standing and locking arms. Like, what is that even?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the little sign of togetherness, I guess.
I guess, but it's just kind of watering down. And at this point, like, people can't remember if it's because they don't like Donald Trump or they don't like, you know, black people being incarcerated in disproportionately high numbers or what it is anymore is kind of just, like, diffused into a spectacle with very little meaning. And I don't see how it's going to be converted into any kind of a positive action without dialogue. So dialogue, it's great. Let's have one.
Yeah, I would just prefer they use their platform to use your words and say so it doesn't get confused.
Exactly.
And,
you know,
people don't take things the wrong way and people don't think they're disrespecting things that they're not. And, you know, I would just say use your platform, use your words. People will hear you, you know.
Indeed. So – besides that, apart from the media day controversy, if you want to call it that, there's been a lot of movement around the league. Got
quite a bit.
Carmelo Anthony, finally, not a Knick.
I think that trade is brilliant for OKC.
Oh, absolutely. Presti, GM of the year, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that's from all that Ainge did, this is a slam dunk. He got both of those guys for next to nothing. And, you know, he got Russ Wilson to sign that mega deal, who's going to be there for the foreseeable future. And brilliant move on Presti's part.
Yeah.
I mean, he's basically showing Russ that he wants to compete. He's going to do what he can to make that the lineup better around him. And boom, he got his star player to commit long term.
With a small market team that had virtually no leverage whatsoever, and the legacy of the Sonics hanging over their head, just to make things even more complicated, the fact that he was able to go from basically completely screwed with no possible way of fixing things to fixing things is just, I don't even understand exactly how he did it.
Yeah, pretty impressive. I mean, took advantage of some situations where teams were in shitty spots, you know, too.
I kind of feel like it was the legacy of the Brooklyn trade. Like, there's been a lot of resentment around the league to just how well Danny made out with that. And I kind of feel like he was able to convert that resentment into an actual future for his team, which is wow.
Yeah, well done.
So now that we are done blowing up his spot, does it even matter? Are they going to compete? I mean, really? Are they going to be able to beat Houston and all the second-team tiers out West? And never mind Golden State. I don't think they have any chance of beating Golden State personally.
Are we talking OKC?
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody has any chance of beating Golden State if they stay healthy. But I think they give Houston a good run. You know, they might not be done. They can add somebody at the deadline or before then, too. To round out the team, but they got some pretty good role players too.
I think they could if
they're not very deep, obviously. But
really good team is
no,
except for one.
Except for that team,
bunch of jerks.
Well, I'd argue Cleveland's kind of deep too. They have at least enough veterans and guys.
They're more balanced. That's fair.
Yeah. They're pretty balanced too.
For me, Oklahoma could be a team that could actually, in a playoff situation, be a borderline challenge for the Warriors, particularly if one of their rotation players or a starter gets injured. But for a lot of teams, that's not even an option. For me, the key here is really, are three notorious ball stoppers going to be able to find a way to work together? And I don't think that's going to
happen. That's going to be the key, obviously. I mean, Russ can't dominate the ball like he did last year with the other two guys. So, that's obviously a key. But I mean, hey, these guys, they're probably all looking to win. They've all been around long enough to not care about that stuff. Russ got his MVP last year, right?
They played together on the Olympics, so they actually had shared the ball before.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I'm excited to see them play, I personally.
Besides that, there's the flip side of the coin, the Knicks. They got Enes Kanter and Doogie McBuckets and a first-round pick. Are they worse now? I would think so.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, they added some guys, and Doogie McBuckets is still pretty young, right?
Yeah, he could turn out to be.
We're not really sure what he's going to be yet, but you know,
he could be a starter.
He'll have an opportunity. He'll have an opportunity to play there for sure.
Yep.
Kanter too, So yeah, I mean, I think it's a good move. They get a little bit worse, but at the same time, give their guys plenty of time. You know, plenty of they're going to have plenty of minutes to go around for these young guys to develop.
And they might be able to convert at least Kanter into something useful in a timeline in the future. I mean, his deal is pretty bad right now, but it might not always be.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? What is he making now anyways?
I think it's, the trade kicker has me all screwed up. But he was making about 18 before. I don't remember how much his trade kicker was for.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean,
but yeah,
if you have no front court offense and you want some, he's pretty good at that.
Yeah.
If you need rebounds or defense or anything else, well, sorry.
I'm going to look elsewhere.
Speaking of elsewhere, Wade got bought out and moved to Cleveland, probably at Perk's expense. Perk was also on their camp roster on non-guaranteed. Maybe it was a guaranteed deal. I can't remember. But could have been a Boston reunion. Wade screwed it up.
Yeah, I don't really I understand. I guess you add a little veteran presence, a little firepower. What are they doing? What are they going to do at the end of games? Or they've got to pick between when Isaiah's back, Wade, Rose, IT at the top three spots. I mean, at the front in the back.
Well, they should play Isaiah and Wade together.
Yeah, well, that would be easy for us to qualify on defense. What are they going to do? You know, Wade hasn't played defense in like 5 years, and Isaiah's, we all know how good he is on defense.
Which is real.
We were able to, you know, thwart his poor defense last year because we had Bradley, Marcus Smart, Crowder paired up alongside him. You know, even Rozier is a, you know, at least a plus defender. I don't understand how they're going to close out games with any of those two of those three guys on the
floor. If they were smart, in my opinion, they would just run him most of his minutes late in the game. Maybe, you know, not a start, but like 6-man minutes, 20, 25 minutes a game, yep. And have most of his minutes in the third and fourth quarter. Let him be, you know, veteran shooting, basically, and not much else.
Yeah, and that's fine, you know, but – I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, other than making LeBron happy, bringing in one of his buddies. I really don't see how much he.
Well, has. it gives a little bit of a more championship sheen, I think, too. It's probably the last season for most of those guys in town. So, you know, a lot of what Gilbert does is about optics, Gilbert the owner, more than substance.
Right.
And this has all the earmarks of optics and none of substance. So, makes sense in that context.
Yeah. Yep.
Jahlil Okafor is back on the block.
No one cares.
Another Okafor, a Mecca Okafor.
Poor guy. Talk about falling for grace, huh? Jeez, he rookie year. He was like 20-10, and you know, just fell off the cliff.
His distant cousin Emeka joined the Philadelphia 76ers in a comeback bid, so we won't be.
Are they really cousins?
Yeah, they are. Well, they're distant. They're like fourth or fifth cousins.
Either way, I still had no idea.
The Okafor family is a very large Nigerian family. They are royalty, I think. They are Nigerian royalty, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Someone can call me out on that. I do that, obviously, because Emeka went to UConn, and I'm a big UConn junkie. So, you know, just to remind you for the third time this podcast.
Yeah.
besides that, Jamichael Green is another guy we were looking at the end of the roster as a potential maybe sign and trade candidate, but he re-signed with Memphis. Gerald Green is off the table, joining the Bucks, where he'll be joining former Celtic Jason Terry. Thomas Robinson, another guy, also gone to China. Best of luck.
I would imagine he'll end up back in the league after some injuries or you know, when the Chinese scene's wrapping up, season's wrapping up.
I think so too. I think he
he'll be a good boost for a team that needs rebounding. You know, around March, you know, when buyouts are coming around and that kind of stuff.
And besides that, not too much else to talk about apart from preseason
game number one.
So you were at that. Tell me your thoughts. What do you think?
I got to actually take in the game from the Garden. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I loved what I saw. A lot of promise. If anything, I thought they shared the ball too much. They were passing. It looked like a hot potato for a little while there. Oh, see, even my dog remembers that. So, but the I thought it was a great first showing, personally, and I loved what I saw. Obviously, from a handful of the new guys, Baines, Big Dick Baines, and Tice.
Baines was great, man. I was he would anything from him and Tice.
And Tice was incredible, but to see what Baines did when he was out there with the starting unit was I loved seeing that. You know,
he can move as much as
I love what Tice did too, but yeah, and he was knocking down that like 18 footer. And he's going to be wide open to take that all the time. Teams are going to leave him open for that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, hey, I loved it.
So, biggest points of criticism from what you saw?
Like I said, they moved the ball maybe a little too much. But I think that was more of a, you know, it was a preseason game. These guys were all trying to get everybody looks. And I don't think there was any, you know, there's no point where anybody needed to take over the game or anything like that. So I'll be more interested to see when the games matter, you know, what it looks like fourth quarter and whatnot. Or, you know, if the other team goes on a run, you know, who's the one that steps up taking shots and whatnot. Obviously, it'll be a different look for sure. But it was cool to see him spread the ball around like that and running up and down. That, you know, they look pretty good.
Yabu and Brown and Tatum all had some pretty meh stat lines, but in the highlights that I got my hands on, they look pretty good, at least on the defensive end of the court, which is, for me, pretty promising given, you know, two of them are rookies, one of them is entering his sophomore season, and realistically at this point, I think people should temper their expectations for guys like that. What are your thoughts on them?
Yeah, so Yabusele didn't score, but he did pull down six rebounds, which anyone that watched the Celtics last year, that's the kind of stuff we want to see. I mean, we want to see him score some buckets, but at the same time, it was nice to see a handful of guys off the bench. Tatum, Tice, Yabusele all had five-plus rebounds. Tatum looked rusty early in the game. Well, he looked a little maybe nervous.
Of course, that was his first real game.
But once he soaked it in, he ended up finishing with a solid stat line. I think he missed his first four or five shots, and then he ended up 4 for 11 with five rebounds, five assists, a pair of blocks, and a pair of steals. Awesome, you know? And that's the way he's going to get on the court. Obviously, we know he's going to be able to score. Even if he's inconsistent to start, we know that's going to come around. But if he can do all those other things and impact the game, he's going to play. And it's interesting. He played 33 minutes, well more than anybody else. And I think that shows me that he may actually play a little more this year than Jalen did last year.
I wouldn't be too surprised.
At least
he looked better on defense. His feet look better on defense than Jalen did at the start of the season. I will give him that for sure.
Which surprised me because everyone talked about, you know, last year Jalen Brown was already, you know, solid defender, and Tatum, that was going to be something he had to work on. And yet, you know, he's embracing it. Well, he's a long guy. He's, you know, he's got all those attributes that Stevens likes, you know? So, I think he's going to play more from the get-go this year than Jalen did last year. That's my hot take.
I don't think that's too hot, but.
No, but I mean, I had originally thought that they were going to bring him along slowly, much in the same way that they did with Brown last year. But I don't know, Ed. I could be wrong on that because he, you know, it seems like Brad got him out there with all different kinds of guys. He played with the starters. He played with the reserves. He played with the deep reserves. I mean, he played the most, more, you know, 3/4 of the game. So
I have a feeling based on the quirkiness of this lineup already and the fact that there is still a roster spot open that Brad Stevens, you know, his usual 20 or so tinkering games are going to give us some very weird lineups this season. And I'm actually really excited to see how that pans out.
Yeah, we saw some crazy ones the other day. For a few minutes there, we had Irving, Smart, and Rozier on the floor at one point, which was I didn't notice it at first, and I said, whoa, wait a second. Three-point guards, pretty cool.
D'Antoni.
What did you think? Now, obviously, Celtics were missing Marcus Morris, who is actually joined the team today, I believe. So he's probably going to play tomorrow. The starting lineup, though, that starting lineup that they threw out there, I would guess is going to be the starting lineup most nights, even with Morris. I think Morris they'll go to if they want to start smaller or if they can start smaller. But I think that starting lineup that we saw, we're going to see against most matchups, at least when the other team has a somewhat legitimate center.
Yeah, I'm real curious to see how they're going to fit Marcus into the Morris, I should say. I can't call him Marcus anymore. Now we have two.
Yeah, Morris, yeah. He's got to be Morris. Yeah, that's it.
Which isn't so helpful because then when we're playing Washington, I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah, right. But I think that lineup that we saw Monday is going to be the starting lineup most nights, much like the way we started with Amir. You know, even if he only played for a short time, he started, you know, I don't know how many games last year, 75% of them.
For those of you who aren't aware, Marcus Morris and his brother were on trial for an incident, an assault that happened while they were both playing for Phoenix, where members of their posse beat the ever-living piss out of somebody allegedly over improper text sent to the Morris twins' mother. the jury found them not guilty on all counts. Had they pled guilty or been convicted apart from the sentencing, they were facing a mandatory 10-game suspension, which is why they were not with the team.
If you guys want to check out more in-depth stuff on that, our guy Tom Lane covered like pretty much the whole trial, and he's a former criminal prosecutor. So you can check that out on the site because he had some really in-depth comments and observations on the whole deal. I mean, I don't really know much about that stuff, but
it was fascinating. I very, very much enjoyed it. I also recommend y'all check it out. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, not too much else going on besides other preseason games. Did you have a chance to take a look at anything else going on around the league?
I've only seen highlights of other games. I think I was watching one game late the other night. I caught the end of, I think it was, the Houston OKC.
What'd you think?
I caught the end of the game and the big guns weren't really playing, but I did see the highlights. That's a matchup I'm looking forward to seeing in the regular season because I think that could very well those two teams probably end up in the top four out west, or maybe top five. I'll say, forgetting San Antonio sneaky good team. I think Minnesota. Watch out for them.
Yeah, they look pretty good. I caught some highlights of them too.
I like the way that the team's built. I think Thibodeau's a good coach.
Well, you should. It's the 2008 Celtics.
I like the makeup of the team. I think they're a pretty well balanced team. They got some scorers. They've got good point guard. I think they're going to be a force.
I was impressed Taj Gibson actually got some burn. He was their leading scorer for one of the preseason games that they've been playing. I can't remember who they were playing.
Well, I think Chicago has misused him since Thibodeau left. I mean, he's definitely more talented than what's been happening in the last couple of years.
Yeah, people give him a lot of credit. And then, that's kind of the point of what the not-so-low-key dig I just took at him in terms of the 2008 Celtics. But I think you are right in that case where – a lot of people are giving him crap for kind of doing a Doc Rivers kind of thing, bringing on a bunch of former teammates, from the Chicago days. And in this particular instance, unlike Doc Rivers, there is actually a reason other than they were kind of good.
Yeah, right. They play well together,
Other talking points from preseason that from what I've seen, Brooklyn is actually looking pretty solid. Atlanta is looking terrible, but somehow still beat Cleveland, even though it was really just like a ghost ship version of Cleveland.
A ghost ship.
I mean, nobody played hard. Everybody, all their starters played for like 20 minutes at the most.
They were just going through the motions. Yeah,
they don't care. Same with Golden State Warriors getting beat by Denver. But don't read much into
that. Right. They don't care the regular season most of the time. Never mind the Cleveland, I'm saying. Yeah. Remember, we saw that's how we got the one seed last year.
Let's see what else. The Lakers, they look pretty bad, unsurprisingly.
Oh, I hope Lonzo Ball can't shoot. I really, really hope he's a miserable three-point shooter because you know how many he's going to take. It will be glorious. I can't wait.
Speaking of, not to, wish the guy ill future of any kind whatsoever, but Markelle Fultz shot 2 of 13 the other night for Philadelphia.
Yep.
I imagine he's going to do better, but
no, I think he might be a little slower learner than we originally anticipated. I remember I wrote an article last year at the end of the season before we made the trade about how great it was going to be to get him and, still have Isaiah. So he'd be like the leader of the second unit scoring off the bench. Oh, he could, or at least he could learn into that role. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he may not be – well, he's going to get a lot of minutes. So, maybe, he could figure this out by, like, January, even if he does start slow. But that's another team that's going to be intriguing, too. We got Embiid's already banged up, not ready to play yet. He's not playing against us tomorrow. Simmons, it's going to be interesting to see because Brett Brown was talking about how Simmons is already, like – even though he's a rookie, because he was around the team last year, he doesn't seem like a rookie, right? Which gets back to my point is these guys shouldn't be, if they miss their rookie season, shouldn't be considered a rookie when they've been with the team and practice with them.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Like Joel Embiid being, up for rookie of the year last year when it was his third year in the league. I mean, but that's another thing altogether.
Well,
yeah, but his comments alone solidify my argument that it's nonsense that players that aren't in their, like, you know, aren't playing in their rookies. I think it's different if somebody's overseas and they're not around the team and they drafted.
There should just be different categories. Just make it a new award. You can have NBA, fake, like, rookie of the year. 0 years experience rookie. No, I mean, yeah.
I just don't like it. I think it's nonsense. Embiid was around the team for 2 years before last season. You know, it's not the same as a 19-year-old kid coming right out of college.
No, but you could, you know, tweak it so that way, not just so you have rookie of the year and best new player in the league.
Yeah.
So that way they are – and still a new player to the league, but they are not
– I don't think they need an award, but now, point take.
How about a participation trophy?
Yeah, give them that. Give them a participation trophy, one of those little ones I used to get for, you know, baseball back in the day.
Well, check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com. As I'm sure you might have gotten a clue from, you know, the entire podcast – you can get tickets to the next game coming up tomorrow. You can also get hoodies in the store, shirts, can't get them anywhere else. And you can find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. Make sure you subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode. If you'd like what you hear, please let us know by rating us 5 stars. That's a great way you can support the podcast. We're not asking you for any money, even though it costs us money to make it. So we would really, 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 really appreciate if you rate us 5 stars. And if something sucks, we're not doing something right, or we're just irritating you, let us know with a comment in any article, on any tweet. You can use the hashtag CLPOD. That's hashtag CLPOD. We will get it. We'll hear it. We'll read it. We're trying to bring you the Celtics coverage the way you want, the way you like it. And that the season's here, or at least the preseason. We've got a whole lot more stuff to talk about. So, with that, I'll sign off. Mark?
Peace out, everybody.
Take care, y'all.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.